Bill,
Hey, man.
Brianna, Brandon, Ron, Alisa, Kenzie, Sherry, of course, Dee.
Don't know if we've really introduced D to Ron and Catherine yet, but he's a resident and he comes to every meeting and he's great to have. So, if you were
Awesome.
curious.
Nice to meet you.
I've been here a long time, and you've got a big set of shoes to fill, both Ron and Catherine there with the two that have gone out and who you're replacing. And I'll watch you. I'll keep you straight.
It's nice to meet you.
All right. Well, hey, so Sherry, if you give me the thumbs up, we'll jump in. Okay. Oh, and can I get a volunteer to lead the pledge? Okay. Thanks, Commissioner. All right. Welcome, everybody, to Planning Commission, February 9th. Before we get started, I have a proclamation to read. Whereas the Planning Commission Chair has determined that conducting public meetings of the Planning Commission with an anchor location where the public could attend in person presents a substantial risk to the health and safety of those who may be present at that location based upon the current COVID-19 pandemic and the limited staff support to properly ensure physical distancing and sufficient disinfection for attendees and staff. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Planning Commission shall hold meetings for the month of February 2021 by electronic means only and will not include an anchor location where the public could attend in person. Sorry. All right. And we'll start with our Pledge of Allegiance, and Commissioner Van Lingeveld will lead us in that. Commissioner?
All right, please repeat the Pledge of Allegiance with me. You're welcome to unmute if you want to. Sherry, are we gonna have a flag or imaginary flag? It's
I've got
okay,
it.
I'm not sure we need it. We've got the words.
Here. There you go, guys.
Okay. I pledge
allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America
United
and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Commissioner. Okay, before we jump into our main item and our discussion item today, are there any public comments at this time? And just unmute yourself and let us know your name. And if you're finding that you're having trouble unmuting yourself, you can put something in the chat. Okay. So hearing none, we'll move on to our main item of business, which is the consideration of a conditional use permit for America Auto Outlet at 1096 North Redwood Road with Carlos Vidal, or as the applicant. I'm not sure if the applicant is here or not. And who on the staff do I turn to?
Me, again.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay, and I'm not sure if they're here yet either. They were invited, so. Basically, what we've got going on here is America Auto Outlet is proposing to locate a used car dealership with some outdoor storage at 1096 North Redwood Road. Their business plan is basically to buy vehicles from auction and then they will detail them and turn around and sell them. There will be no auto body work or mechanical work or anything like that happening at this location, not even emissions, which if you read the staff report, they do have a sign that says they do that there. I have verified they do not. So it is strictly detailing the cars they're buying and then turning them over to sell. So when we are looking at the location they're at, they are within this parcel right here. Just to show you kind of what the zone is like around them, they are in the CG zone, which in the CG zone, car dealers are permitted, but outdoor storage as an accessory use is not. And they are planning to store, originally they said 50 to 70 cars in this space outside. And then they would do like 4 display cars out front and just kind of circulate them through. Because there is that quantity of cars and it is considered outdoor storage, that's why they're here tonight. Staff has deemed there are a few issues with the current property. This tenant is only renting and they are only occupying this area. Can you guys see my mouse? Okay, yeah. So they're only occupying this area right here. And then they have this concrete pad directly in front of them. And the remaining of the parking lot is either unpaved or in really bad shape. And there are no drive approaches coming off of Redwood. So DRC has found that we can't ask them to fix the entire property, but we can ask them to bring at least their space up to some form of compliance. Starting with parking, per parking code, the parking area has to be hard surfaced and they need at least 9 parking stalls if they plan to store or display the 4 in the front. So they need 5 for customers and employees and 4 additional. And then on top of that, of course, they need the 1 ADA stall. So DRC has requested that they create more hard surface parking with painted lines to show where people actually park, because right now you don't know. And when I went out there for a visit, they had cars stacked in tandem with each other. So we want to avoid that. Moving on to the back, we have some screening issues. Outdoor storage requires screening, especially along 1100 North. Right now, they have a kind of a rock, not even rock, a brick wall fence that has some gaps between it, and then it turns to chain link. And chain link is not a accepted or permitted use for screening. It needs to be an actual wall. Even if they put the little slats into the chain link, they still can't do that. So what we have recommended as a DRC is that they provide emergency fire access plan containing the designated track used to access the side of the building to South Davis Metro Fire. Right now, South Davis just isn't sure how they can access this back area. There is a parking or a drive approach right here that we assume they have access to. And then other than that, they have an access point over here and then down at the end of the property. So South Davis Metro Fire just needs them to make sure that that track is what we're calling it, is clear of all junk and debris at all times. It's designated and it is a minimum of road base or dustless gravel. So that's the next thing we're recommending, is that they surface that track with dustless gravel or road base as a minimum. They need to clear all the junk and debris from the emergency fire access track. And you can see, this is some pictures I took when I was out there. This is kind of what we're talking about with junk and debris. I don't know if you can see it very well, but it's just random stuff piled up. And if they plan to use this as a fire access track, it must be cleared before we issue a business license. They need to provide sufficient screening for the outdoor storage on the east side of the building. And I've been working with them on that. We're not asking them to put up a big wall where this fence is. They're just a tenant. I'm trying to figure out some form of a wall that they could put just around their specific storage area over here and just from public sight. So they don't need to circle the whole thing, just from 1100. And then the last thing regarding parking. They need to become compliant with code as far as the hard surface parking goes. They need to create actual parking stalls, a minimum of 9 with 1 ADA stall. And that's it.
Okay, thanks, Mackenzie. And I'm just doing a basic check. to see if the applicant is here and wants to add anything to that. Okay. All right, so I don't think that they're here. So let's open it up to questions and comments.
I can answer most questions. I've been working very closely with these guys.
Hi, Mackenzie, it's Ron.
Yeah.
I appreciate your work on this. So I drove by the property yesterday. It looks like maybe there's two or three different, possibly three different businesses there. So once that fire access is cleared, will it be the responsibility of this applicant to make sure that that continues to be maintained, is not being blocked? How will that work? Can you help me understand that?
Sherry, that's on you. I don't know how we're going to manage that.
I think the first thing is that this business license application and conditional use permit brings the problem to light to us. And it also brings the problem to light to the fire district, more importantly, they should have been enforcing this all along. So this is just an opportunity to get them cleaned up and things buttoned back into the way they should be. And then it goes back to the normal enforcement. You know, if we see it or if the fire district sees it, then we would need to remind them. But it ultimately is the responsibility of the property owner, the landlord of the property. If the businesses also are the ones making the mess, it's their responsibility too. So somebody in either a lessee or the lessor need to take responsibility, keep the property up to code.
And we're just asking it be put up to code before we approve anything. One thing to know, I don't know if you noticed, Ron, when you were out there, but they claim, I haven't drove by, but they claim to have cleaned it up quite a bit just since my site visit, including removing all cars that don't run, all cars they don't think they can sell, whatever it is. They've tried to reduce the amount of cars in the back and they've tried to just clean up the entire site.
So. Yeah, it's a little confusing to know exactly who's doing what, because there are multiple businesses in there operating kind of concurrently and looks like maybe even sharing some space. I don't know, but anyway, I think the recommendations are admirable. My only concern was is with so much going on there and there's frankly a lot of stuff there. Yeah. How does that get maintained over time? So I appreciate the answer. That's a good answer.
And does anyone know, is this the unit that did catch fire last year?
There was a
fire at that point. Sure.
I don't know if it's the unit.
I don't know if it was the same unit or not.
So
I ask Larry.
And they've been here, I don't know how long they've been operating the business here. They just barely applied for a business license. And the reason I say that is because they've got this sign up and no one, as far back as I can tell, has approved any sort of sign permitting for them. So they've been operating without a business license and without a sign permit for, I don't even know how long. Something to note.
Is this a second location for this company?
I don't think so.
So why does the sign say that they do safety and emissions?
So I asked them that. I wish they were here. Are they here, Sherry? I can't see the people. Are they here yet? No? Okay. Well, so when I went out to the site and I saw that, I immediately went, wait a second, you're telling me it's a used car dealership. And their response to that said that they used to do some, but now they're turning people away. When people come in, they said point blank to me, they tell them they only sell cars there. So that's just kind of what they verbally told me over the phone.
And then to be clear, if they were doing emissions, that would be a violation of the code.
Well, yeah, because I'm not sure it would be a violation, but they wouldn't be a violation of their business license at the very least. We would need to can they get auto repair in CG? Yeah, I think you can, but they have to get a conditional use permit for that, I believe, as well.
Either way, they have to get the conditional use permit because of the storage in the back.
And then this tandem parking that you're showing here, that is a violation as well, right?
Well, it depends if they're the cars for sale or if they're the cars that are the employees. We don't know because it's literally just that concrete pad and they just had cars there. I don't know what they were doing.
Can you park patron or employees parking right up abutting cars that are being displayed in a tandem way? Is that legal? I don't have a problem with it, but I didn't know whether there was a code issue.
I don't think there's a code issue with that. I don't believe we have.
I don't think so either, because it's different spaces. It's a space for display and a space for parking.
Are they planning on parking the cars that are for sale Redwood Road facing, like out towards the road? So they'll be right on the road on the turn there?
Yeah, they'll be more close to the building like they are right now. I don't think they want to put them too far out into that unpaved area. Well, they'll have to pave it, but there's no drive approaches. So
you're thinking that they'll put the for sale cars
right in front of their building,
facing forward towards Redwood like this truck is?
Yes.
And then the cars in front of it would be employee parking?
They haven't submitted a parking plan to us yet for the revisions. All we're requesting is that it's hard surfaced and that's the 9x18 parking stalls and that they're striped and dedicated so that we can tell. I don't think we really, I mean, we care, but we're not as concerned about the alignment of how the parking is, just that they have it and it's compliant with code.
Okay.
That's my train of thought on that.
With the motion tonight, would it be helpful for it to include any stipulations on the sign, that portion of the sign must be removed, or is the sign addressed in their business licensing only?
I would be very cautious about regulating the content of the sign, because we don't want to get into First Amendment issues with that. So I think it probably is not a bad idea to say, you know, we suggest that you do this, but I don't think we really have an ordinance that says you have to take that off, because that's not what you're doing for your business. It's false advertising, you know. But I'm wondering how many people stop there anyway. I don't know.
So maybe we just ask Andrea to clearly articulate that in the minutes.
Yeah.
That the commission recommended the removal of the language that is misleading.
Or they cover it because it's okay. Confusing.
Yeah.
So this is Catherine McKenzie. Do you know if they're still planning on 50 to 70 vehicles in the back?
That's why I wish they were here. They said they'd be willing to reduce the amount. They didn't really give me a firm number though, and I didn't give them one.
But just to be clear, if you don't feel comfortable with this application because they aren't here to answer these questions, you can table this too. That is always an option. And we can give them instructions that they really do need to be here to answer those questions.
And then kind of piggybacking off of that, thanks, Sherry. Is it kind of within our domain? I as well drove by it and it seems very improbable to fit 70 vehicles in the area that's delineated in the map. Is that within our domain to kind of like place any regulation or recommendation on that as well?
Absolutely, because you can say, you could say something like, you need to show us a storage plan and show us exactly by measuring out on the ground how many cars you could fit in there realistically and still move them in and out. And then that could be the condition. So you might say, if you were going to table it, you could tell us to go back and tell them that that's what you want answered before the next meeting or at the meeting, but in the documents that you'll get before the meeting would be best.
We could also, if you do decide to go that route, we could ask for their confirmed parking plan for the front of the building too, to answer more of like Brianna's questions.
Maybe just to show how they're going to stripe it after they pave the surface.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, kind of going on that as well, I guess if I'm just stating concerns. With those 50 to 70 slots in the back, they say that they're going to bring cars in on Mondays. And I think potentially something to consider might be their plan on moving cars through that area if they already have 50 to 70 cars parked. It just seems like that would be very difficult, especially for taking into consideration the other businesses on the other side if they have patrons visiting. That's just something that I might bring up to consider.
Let me go back to it so you guys can see where she's talking again.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so I guess just moving those vehicles from auction on Mondays into that area where all of those vehicles are parked, it would make sense to maybe have a plan on how they were going to do something like that as well.
I wonder Did they say how many auction vehicles they typically would buy in a week?
I think it's more of like a supply and demand type of thing, where if they've got rid of 10 cars that week, they'll go try to put 10 new cars in or something like that. Well, we definitely will want to ask them that. But I don't, based off what he said, I don't believe that if they already had their back area stocked, they would even go to the auction. It's not a confirmed thing they have to go every week. They just go when they need to.
So are they only going to be purchasing cars from the auction that are totally intact? They're not like salvage titling things and bringing wrecked cars over there?
That's what they told me. And that's why in the staff report, I wrote that they confirmed they will not be doing any auto body work. Okay. They told me it's not even like scratches and dents. It's detailing is what they're doing there. So I would assume so based off that response.
Okay.
I wish they were here. I'm sorry, guys.
Not your fault.
Okay, so it feels like we're headed towards a motion to table with some direction. Somebody working on that motion. Of course, if you're welcome to make whatever motion you choose to, right, as a commissioner.
So in our conversation, I think there are two additions to what has already been listed in the staff report, which would be a storage plan for cars in the back and a parking plan for cars in the front. I don't know if that would include like a route path or a driving path, you know, that Catherine was kind of bringing up of how you're moving these cars around. When you look at this aerial shot, I count somewhere about 28 or 30 cars are already in that space. I just don't know how they could get many more than that and still be able to move them around. So that matters to me too.
So to reiterate, the storage plan isn't just how they're gonna store the cars, it's how they're gonna move the cars in and out of that area as well.
I don't feel like I have to see that. That's just a comment of that consideration. I can see that would be problematic. I'm not sure I need it mapped out how they plan to do that. Maybe someone else feels like they want to see that, but no, I don't need that. Just the storage plan is what I'm recommending for support.
Okay, well, I'd entertain a motion, or certainly we can keep discussing.
I'm not really sure how to do this, and I'll give it a go.
Okay, right on.
Awesome. So I guess I move that the Planning Commission table the conditional use permit for American Auto Outlet LLC located at 1096 North Redwood Road with the following conditions. Do I list those? I'm sorry.
Please.
Okay, great. Provide an emergency fire access plan containing the designated track used to access the east side of the building to South Davis Metro Fire Agency. Surface the emergency fire access track with a minimum of road base, dustless gravel. Clear all junk and debris from the emergency fire access track. Provide sufficient screening for the outdoor storage area on the east side of the building. Hard surface and stripe a minimum of 9 parking stalls compliant with North Salt Lake City Code Title 10, Chapter 6 on the west side of the building. Provide 1 ADA parking stall on the west side of the building. In addition, add conditions of delineation of a parking plan in the back area, as well as delineation of a parking plan in the front area.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Are there any comments on the motion? Do we want to refer to it as a storage plan in the back, or is that not a consequence?
I like that.
I do too.
I like the idea of a storage plan.
I like that too.
Commissioner Mouse, is that acceptable?
Yes, that's acceptable.
Okay. And I always forget, do I need a new motion based on an amended? Okay. All right. Any other comments on the motion?
The motion is to table, right?
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
You're good, Commissioner Tucker?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, so the motion has passed to table that item. So
a question, like a follow-up question just about this topic.
Great.
So the property is out of compliance, and then now this one tenant is kind of being pushed into compliance, which I support and appreciate very much. Has the property owner been notified that his tenants are out of compliance and it is preventing them from getting business licenses to operate?
He's one of the tenants.
Okay.
Say it again.
I think he's aware of the issues. I don't think he's been formally cited by the code enforcement officer.
Okay.
Thank you.
To our new commissioners, you are always welcome to read the findings in the staff report. You can, if you choose to, say with the findings or conditions in the staff report and then add if you want. So it's totally fine whichever way you want to do that.
Yeah. And when you asked the question, I thought you meant like your other, the two conditions that you were adding on in the end. I thought that was what you were asking. So.
Gotcha. Thank you so much for the clarity.
Or you can read them.
Either way, you did great.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so now we have a discussion item. What are some priorities to work on during this calendar year? And Sherry, I'll just stop talking and let you sort of introduce this, but these could be things that we work on to implement plans that are currently in place, the general plan, the active transportation plan, et cetera. That's a really good place to start. It could be things that you've noticed are in need of improvement, perhaps in the regulatory space, you know, our zoning. So those are just a couple of examples. Sherry, do you want to provide any other introductory comments before we just chat about this?
I think if you put that slideshow back up for just a minute and go to the next slide, Mackenzie, then that will help me because I didn't write that down. I mean, I wrote it down, but I wrote it down in the presentation. So just to give you an idea of the projects, or at least that I'm working on that will be coming to you or have already been to you. This is the list of that. So the form-based code, I've given our two new commissioners copies of the code to read. Where we're at is we recently had a work session with the council, and now to kind of reintroduce everybody to the process. And I think the next step is to really figure out how to do a public input process electronically. And I'm kind of struggling with the best method for that. And so maybe a good discussion with the commission would be helpful to help us figure out how you think we can reach out to the general public and get some feedback from that. The second thing is last year, the Planning Commission forwarded a subdivision ordinance rewrite to the City Council. That was right at the beginning of the pandemic. And what I got back several months later after the council tabled it from Council Member Baskin is a lot of red line corrections that are a lot of grammatical, there's just a lot. So I have to get those input for the council and then take that back to the council. The next big project is the annexation policy plan update. We should have the first draft next week from the consultant. Ah, my phone needs to be quiet. Sorry about that. Okay. We'll have the first study back from the consultant. So just as a reminder, this relates to the annexation request from the Misty River development and Crossy Ranch. As part of their annexation process is requesting, we have to update our annexation policy plan. So an analysis has been done by Lewis Young, Robertson, and Burningham. And they, when we get that report, it'll tell us what the actual implications of annexing this property out west would be for the city, both fiscally and anyway, the impact on services, how much those impacts, those services would cost, those types of things. And then the council can make an informed decision about whether or not they want to annex this property. But the first step will be, when we get that draft, will be to bring it to the Planning Commission to review, and then we'll schedule a public hearing and you'll do another review and make comments on that plan. So you'll be the first ones to see the draft and understand the impacts of what annexing property into the city would be. So I'm really excited to get that back. It's quite overdue, but we're happy to have that. The other next project that I really think we should tackle is our sign code. We're pretty lucky with the town center where we've been implementing it, that we've been implementing it by development agreement. So I've been able to put in sign regulations that are much better than the sign regulations we have in our ordinance that is very confusing and very difficult for sign companies to understand, as difficult for our own staff to understand. And this is a big project to tackle, but I think it's one that's important because it really affects how Redwood Road looks and how Highway 89 looks, as well as along the freeway. And I think it's important that we protect the character that we're trying to build. So those are my top four, but I'm super excited to hear if there's some other things that you think we should be working on and we can get them on the list.
And the sign ordinance was that the Planning Commission suggested in a similar kind of conversation. I don't remember how long ago, but a year ago or something like that.
Pre-pandemic, it was a PP.
Great. So, I mean, I have some items, but I think somebody was going to say something. So go right ahead.
Sherry, I would like to see us go over some of the conditional use permits that have come up this last year that feel like they don't need to be conditional use permits and don't need to come before the Planning Commission any longer.
Okay, great.
Sherry, on the set of slides that you shared with Catherine and I, there was a mention of a Main Street neighborhood report. Does that have any bearing on the Planning Commission?
So we did a survey in 2017 of the Main Street neighborhood with certain questions. And that report, it's not really a report, but it's kind of like a slideshow. And it gives some data on the survey results. We're actually shared some of that yesterday with the Parks Committee, but we would be happy to share that. So that's something that we can put together.
Thank you.
That's low hanging fruit. That one's easy, we can do.
So we're working on the form-based code. That is improving our game quite a bit on design in the town center. I wonder if we should do a basic inventory of the quality of our design outside of the town center.
Like in the industrial, or are you
thinking? Yeah, and I'm thinking more residential, but it could be, I think our industrial design is actually pretty good. And I'm not actually saying that the single family needs work necessarily, but maybe we just do a review of it and we ask ourselves, does this make sense? And partly I'm brainstorming a little bit. This is a more targeted point, but in the town center, we have some townhomes that have their front doors sort of below the grade of the street. And then we have some townhomes that are above the grade of the street, like 4 feet. And is this a code problem? that we need to improve our codes, is that going to be taken care of with the form-based code? Or do we need something that talks about the grade of the front door relative to some other grade point, you know?
I think we need to solve that. Yes, we need something in code to address that. I don't think the form-based code addresses that. But I think it's an issue in all of the zones, not just in townhomes. It, you know, can be a problem in all residential zones. So we have to be really careful because of some of the hillside lots that we have. There's no way that we want them to dig all the way into the hill to get their front door at the curb level. But definitely we don't want to have doors below the curb level, but we do have some houses that have that too up in the hillside, but it is weird when they are. And so I think we should look at that. I think that's a really good idea.
I don't want to monopolize other ideas.
I have two ideas. They're not task-based, so it's not a request for, I think we should do this type of an evaluation, but just kind of two priorities that are priorities to me that I'd like to see either in new developments coming in or as part of the annexation plan, which is one, walkability, and how do we assess a development or even portions of the city with their walkability. So for that, I'm talking about paths, sidewalks, cycling options. And then the second one is open spaces. Are we also allowing for in our high, especially in our high density areas, are we including requirements for open spaces? And I think that is relevant for the annexation policy and other areas in the city as well, but that's one that is a new development potentially.
Ted, who is it that does the walkability assessments? What group is it that comes and does the scoring of your city for walkability?
Yeah, It's the health district, only the name is probably wrong.
Health department?
Yes, they actually have a walkability assessment tool that they provide.
Maybe we could get a presentation of that and we could have it done and then we could talk about it as a topic.
Yeah, I like that.
Because I think if we learn about it, then when we're reviewing the plans, we can apply those ideas when we're looking at it and understand it a little better.
Walkability is part of the subdivision ordinance modification too, right?
Yes, I believe so.
It doesn't resolve that, but it's at least part of the story.
The wider sidewalks and everything.
Yeah, but I want to say there was like some ped circulation considerations in the subdivision ordinance.
I think so. I'm going to double check that.
Building on Commissioner V's suggestion, I know that we have a subcommittee working on parks and trails. And so I know that we're not really on point, but I'll confess, I don't really know what the Planning Commission's role is on parks and trails. And maybe you can provide a comment there, but I mean, even at a minimum, I'd love to just understand what other processes are underway, you know, what's being explored, et cetera.
I can speak a little bit to that. I was the chair of that board for 2 years. I think that as they are coming up to the Hatch redevelopment, I don't know where they are in that process because I've been off that board for a year and they've likely made advancements that I wasn't a part of. I think they would love to get a list of like, these are the priorities that we want in this new park that you're developing. I know when we were there and thinking about amenities to include in the park, it felt a little bit overwhelming to pull them out of the sky without getting a lot of feedback from residents or other places. So if the Planning Commission put together like a list of these are things we would love to see in the park, I think they would, and then just sent that to their committee, I think they would love that. Likewise, as they create plans, if we requested to bring them to Planning Commission and say, hey, we would love to see what your current plan is and provide feedback. Again, I know that when I was chair, I would have loved that. So those are two ways that we could do it.
So just to bring the Planning Commission up to speed on where we're at, because then we haven't announced that, we didn't tell this to anybody yet, really. I think it just didn't come up between my life being crazy right now. Anyway, the Parks and Arts, they did a kickoff meeting 2 weeks ago to do some park replanning, the planning for the park. And we have representatives on the steering committee from all of the various departments in the city, as well as the Parks Committee. And then we have asked Catherine to be the Planning Commission's representative there. So she'll be able to report back to you and we can have dialogues about things that we wanted to do. Last night we had our second meeting and it was a really awesome meeting where everybody broke off into little groups and came up with their big ideas without thinking about cost or budget or was it realistic or whatever, what you would really like to see in the park. And the most amazing ideas came to light last night that I'd never heard of and wouldn't have thought of myself. And I really think it's going to be a great process. And so we'll want to keep the Planning Commission updated as we go forward, but they're doing a lot of kind of big thinking. And in fact, they gave us a book to read. Oh, I don't have it. It's the Emotional Infrastructure. You have yours right there.
No, it's the Emotional Infrastructure of Places, though.
Of Places, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So they've given that to every single member of the committee and had them read it and talking about, you know, how to put the fun back in our places and what do we want to draw to North Salt Lake? What do we want this park to be that'll be the center of our town center? It'll really be our anchor.
And I really think having attended a couple of those meetings, probably right now, I think we're going to have another in the next couple of weeks, but either right now or within the next month, I would say, is a great time probably for Planning Commission to kind of solidify some priorities that we want to see. We're kind of honing in, it seems, from the big brainstorm ideas to like what's feasible, big things that we actually want to take away and put into this town center. So if we could come up with priorities either in the next, I would say, month, maybe that's probably going to be a great timeline to present it to that subcommittee.
Sweet.
So would you like me to put that as an agenda item next time that we can do a brainstorming for town center interaction with the parks for a report back to the Parks Committee?
I think that's great.
Okay.
Most of you know that I like to explore parking. And so some of you might be feeling your eyes roll back in the back of your head a little bit. But why am I interested in parking? Because it's a massive land use, uses a ton of land. And being efficient means we get more tax revenue and we save people money. That's why. The reason why I'm talking about it now is with the pandemic, it's changing market dynamics quite a bit for retail, for office, for how people travel. You know, in other words, you know, are they always showing up with a car or not? And, you know, this is coming on the heels of a changing landscape anyway, with Uber and Lyft spreading, et cetera. And I think it's a good time, maybe not immediately, but I would say perhaps in 6 months to take a look at the landscape and say, are there some strategic parking tweaks that we want to explore as a city? I wouldn't want to specify my opinion right this second. I just think that taking a look at the landscape of our parking regulation and together asking that question, considering it in the light of findings about the consequences of COVID-19, I think is a healthy thing for us to do. And again, I would suggest maybe in about 6 months.
So Ted, just out of curiosity, I think it's great. How would you go about collecting data on that? I mean, something to make it more objective and less subjective.
Yeah, sure. Well, if we needed to, we could always hire some counts. But also, I know that there are communities that are undertaking parking studies this year that are nearby communities. And so we can learn from them some. But I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this should be based on data. And if we feel like data that is, you know, from elsewhere in the Wasatch Front is not specific enough for our needs, we could always consider augmenting.
Yeah, even if it's just case studies, you know, so there's a particular property that's underutilized or maybe it's overflowing, whatever the situation is.
Yeah.
Trying to understand that through some case studies too. Just, you know, so I think we could all kind of be looking at that and seeing if, you know, is there an area that seems to be overflowing or lots of vacant spaces all the time, whatever.
Right on.
And that's one other thing I'll just mention, you know, and this just shows my bias as being an engineer, so I'm a technical guy, but I am interested in data. And I think anytime you can get data to inform your decision-making, it's all the better. And I think in particular, you know, we see some wonderful examples of the aerial photos and a lot of good information. I understand the city has a GIS system, but you know, I'd be curious, you know, what kind of data can we get from data layers, data integration through GIS? I know in a lot of industries, it's been eye-opening in terms of the amount of data layers that can be used and how they can be used. So I just think over time, we need to understand the tools that inform, you know, our current processes. Is there stuff out there that we ought to be making sure that we do take into consideration and so forth? So I just want to throw that out. And again, I apologize for anybody who maybe doesn't see it the way an engineer or technical person was, but that's just my bias.
I think it's great. Commissioner Tucker, anything that you are thinking about? It could even be like, I would say we could even reflect on some developments that we think might, is that too sensitive to do that, to actually like debrief and say, okay, so what caused this to be, I wasn't happy with development X and how it turned out. Here is what I feel like wasn't up to snuff. And then we could then ask ourselves, is there a fix here? Or was that?
No, I agree. I mean, it's just like when we were writing the subdivision ordinance and we were talking about the PUDs and like the townhome developments and how Kate and I went out and walked through the spaces to see what felt uncomfortable.
You know,
went walk between the two buildings, how much space is really needed. Okay, now this space, it doesn't feel uncomfortable. Let's measure that. And we measured the spaces that felt uncomfortable to us and kind of started to get an idea of what the right distance is, at least for, I mean, that's very subjective. It's what I feel comfortable with, right? So I'm hoping I'm the average person. Maybe I'm not. There might be a lot of other people that were like, 50 feet is too close together, you know, and maybe 30 feet is fine, or 35 for me makes me feel comfortable. But it doesn't hurt for you as representatives to think about those things. What is the reason that this development had this particular outcome, and how are we fixing it in our code to make sure that we can address that better in the future? I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
Commissioner Larson, anything else you want to add?
I'm just going off of those comments. The only thing this last year that has kind of haunted me was the inability that we had the connectivity between the Stonehaven project and that little development that came right next to it over by Lee's, that we were not able to get that road to go through. And I feel like we didn't advocate strong enough to have that developer really make a bid with the HOA of the Stonehaven commitment community. And so I would like to just see us advocate a little bit more for that connectivity. And then like we did in our last meeting, look at potential easements, connectivity easements that may be beneficial in the years to come on the properties that we are building together. And I think we did a great job with that in our last meeting, talking about that easement. But that is the only thing. Well, there's probably a few other things, but that one has really, as I've watched that development go in, I just hate that it doesn't feel like one community there. And it just feels like a little pocket of houses that doesn't connect to the neighborhood well. And I know we did our best. And I know that the HOA is difficult to work with, but I would have really liked to see that street have some kind of connectivity to the community behind them.
That's a great point.
One thing that I have thought about is, and I don't know if this is a planning commission thing, or it's probably more city council, but a reevaluation of our city's master transportation plan. Like Ron said, data matters. Data matters for funding, data matters for future development. I know the city has, one big transportation problem that we have is our east-west connectivity. And we're never going to even start the conversation about a bridge over the railroad tracks until we have data, until we have a well thought out plan of what Center Street and 1100 North are going to look like. And a lot of the things that I'm looking at when we're considering developments, like the ones on Orchard Drive, or what is the road going to look like? We've done a good job of that on 89 because we've got a planned BRT route coming through there. So we have a good idea of what that total footprint would look like. But I think, maybe this is too much, but I think a comprehensive reevaluation of our whole master transportation plan is in order.
Awesome.
That's a really big list.
I'd also like to see that too, because I do think, Ted, going with the parking thing, that a better overall picture of the transportation can go over some of the parking requirements that we have on some of the communities, seeing where we do have transportation available, where the BRT is available, and continuing having those conversations in parking based on what kind of transportation we have.
Right on. That's great. And you know what, I'll say, let's see. So it's a 2013 update that where we worked on the transportation master plan. I would say that was not the focus of that general plan update. Would you say that, Sherry? I think the general plan update was more focused on the town center than it was on transportation. And I think that it makes, I fully support that, Brandon. Go ahead, Sherry.
Yeah, we recently are writing a request, an RFP to have, I know we're focused on the town center, a town center circulation study done that will give us a lot of insights, at least about those roads. And but I will bring this up with the rest of the executive committee or executive staff so we can get it with engineering and see, because I think it's probably time for us to start updating a couple of other elements too. We need to update the parks plan because we have new parks properties that need to be added into that need to be planned for. So certainly that transportation element should be updated. And where we just adopted a year ago, the active transportation plan, I think.
That's what I was gonna say, yeah. Would
be appropriate.
Mm-hmm. I'll just spit this out just because you just said that, but I think there's some big ideas in the active transportation plan that we could ask ourselves, are we ready to move forward on those? Or if not, why, that kind of thing. So Commissioner Ward, anything you want to add?
No, I got a couple. There is a development on Orchard that I've been keeping my eye on, and I'm going to wait for it to be finished because I do think there is something that I feel guilty that we might have missed. I feel like their units are too close together and the cars are going to be backing into each other. So I'm going to wait for it to be finished and maybe go out and walk it before I bring that up and then actually, look at it. Yeah.
Commissioner Mouse? Am I saying your last name the way you want it to be said?
Honestly, either way is great. Most people say moss, but.
Okay, sorry, sorry.
49% of people say mouse, so it's all good. I would probably reiterate, open space is kind of my background and my interest in just kind of like redevelopments, kind of looking at open space allocation and then any new developments going in, just making sure that we're paying attention to those things. And yeah, that's about it.
Commissioner Jorgensen, anything else?
No, I think we're covering it. I think it comes down to a lot of livability issues, you know, and so I think the open space issue, the access to the town center from all parts of town, you know, so the transportation, how you get to and from it, we really don't want it to be an island kind of separated from, you know, half the town. So I do think, you know, the transportation plan, particularly the way I see it, is kind of access to the town center and things like that, so we're more connected. And obviously, you know, a walkability tree. So I think we've touched on a lot of stuff. It's just going to come down to setting some priorities here. What do we do first?
Yeah, right on. Commissioner B.
So I have those two priorities, but if we did tackle a review of the transportation plan in the city master plan, that would include the walkability and the cycling options, because that is one of the goals in that plan. So if that was the task, it would meet those goals for me. And then, you know, I said before, the open space plans, especially as that is included in the annexation policy, that matters for me.
Sweet. Mackenzie, did you want to add anything? Okay. Did it any last items from anybody?
When's the Planning Commission mixer?
Wow, right? We could do that, right?
Yeah, I'm on board for that.
I do have something I can just quickly throw in, and Sherry, you can stop me, but whenever I have the really small packets to be delivered, I've had multiple people, Ted being one of them, I'm going to call you out, and Brandon say, hey, we don't want the hard copies this week. Do we want to just keep getting those hard copies? Do we need to revisit that conversation? I don't want you guys to be bogged down with paper that you don't need. Brandon, I've already taken care of you, but what do you guys think on that?
I like to get a physical packet.
Okay, so I'm just gonna keep doing it for everyone but Brandon then.
But if we decide to unilaterally stop doing that, I also can adapt. I won't be too grumpy about that.
Does anyone else?
Like 80% of them I could not have the hard copy, but there's like 20% where the plats I like to review on paper. So it is sort of it's a tricky blanket to say no.
It would also It's easier when we're not in person, right? Because we're doing everything on our computers. When we come back to in-person.
Having the hard copies.
You know, like the city council has their iPads. So if we wanted to go all electronic, if you felt strongly about that, then I could go to the city council and get a budget item to add iPads so that you would all have something to look at and you could carry it with you and zoom in on it and take notes on it or whatever. If that was something you were interested in.
Hey, Dee, you show up week in and week out, and is there something that you'd suggest to the commission as a study item this year?
I don't know. I've looked at a lot of the areas around, and I'm going to call Sherry. I'm still trying to put my head around development. I've watched you're talking about space between buildings. On Main Street, the one that Sherry gave a presentation a while back, that if we were under the new code would be different. The one up behind the post office, the Tidwell Lane or whatever it's called. I've looked at those buildings and I have a little bit of problem with the way they are spaced. One of the problems I see is a fire problem. The fire department doesn't seem to have much problem with that part of it. But as I'm looking at some of these developments and how they fit in with the current one, and we've got a lot of older areas up off of Orchard Drive, 200 North, both east and 150 West. A lot of those are the buildings that were built back in the 40s or 50s. And I look at the value of the property and what's going to happen there. Up at the top of 3,800, there's about, I can't remember, there's two or three pieces of property up there that, Sherry, a while back you guys were talking about those two or three. How many are there up there that fit into that long category?
Oh, there's, yeah, I just sent that off to the city council too. There weren't as many. There were a couple that we could change to R110, but there were a couple. There was at least one that has to stay the RM20 just based on the number of units that are already on the property, unless the city council wanted to really make them non-conforming. And that's a hard decision to do, so.
But I see a lot of the deep properties that basically would be very well redeveloped, but it's sort of impossible to do it unless you took a whole neighborhood and bulldozed it. And we have a lot of weed patches, if you want to call it that, in certain areas, because people don't want a big yard anymore. And we've got people that want to have big yards. Some of them say, I'd like to have the farm element around still. But it's a very difficult thing. I've looked at the new development that's trying to annex in on the west side. I can see both sides of that one. Okay. I remember when I was on the Planning Commission multiple years ago, we were talking about what is now Foxborough and the problems it would cause the city. And I think that they've done a fairly well job of covering a lot of that. But I can see, you know, you've talked about looking at parking, you've looked at different parks, at how they fit together. And I don't know the best answer to that. I just sit back and shake my head sometimes and say, good luck. So okay. Thank you for letting me say something here. And I think that it's something that, you know, all the things you've mentioned so far, I think need to be done. And I think that you'll probably come up with some others. So thank you very much.
You bet, Dee. And we appreciate the way you plug in and share your thoughts. And I would encourage you to do so in the future. I do also want to just provide an opening, Andrea, if you want to say anything in this space as well. A lot of you know this, but Andrea does not just record our minutes. She also studies planning, not in a formal degree program, I believe, Andrea, but it's more than just a passing fancy for
friends. Yeah, I'm actually on the Harriman Planning Commission. Oh. So one thing that I was mentioning to them in our last meeting was streetscapes, which we kind of talked about tonight, but just the overall like width of the street and then the number of trees and just different things like that.
Gotta love those babies.
Right, being so loud.
I'm glad you said that, Andrea, and maybe that's a space that we can touch on the transportation master plan as well. I want to just remind you all that this is not a one-time thing. So this is not, we had our strategic time to think about what we want to work on, and now we won't ask this question again for many months. You can bring up something in any meeting. It doesn't mean we're going to address it that meeting, but if you know, Sherry's got basically like a list, and you know, if you're like, we need to get something on the list to come back to, maybe we won't get to it for a while, right? It's not an endless staff. Sherry's busy, Mackenzie's busy, et cetera. But you can put something on the list anytime, not just today. Today, obviously we took a little bit of time here. So, unless there's something else, and again, you can even bring it up just at the very next meeting. Let's go to, I will pause since I said, unless there's something else.
Well, I would add one more thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to take this list and we'll get it typed up and kind of talk about, maybe kind of organize it here somehow in a way that, okay, these are the easy, low hanging fruit. Maybe we can pick those off really quickly, because some of these things are not as staff intensive as some of the other ones. So let us do a little analysis of it. And then we can have like a, you know, it can just be a regular thing that we have in the slideshow that we can talk about at the end of the meeting. Oh, by the way, here's where we're at with this. We're going to start this here and we're planning on starting this then or whatever. We can just keep it on our, if it's kept on your radar, then it will be kept on my radar too. And that helps me. So I'm getting older too. Me and Ted, we went to school together a long time ago. We're getting really old.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, so isn't that funny, Jerry?
Yes, it really is.
So where are we? And now we are on the approval of the minutes from January 26th, 2021. Are there any suggested modifications to the draft minutes? And I'd entertain a motion. By the way, would you all prefer if I instead said, you know, went page by page and just provided it an opening for comments on a page basis? Okay.
I'll move that the Planning Commission approve the meeting minutes for the January 27th, 2021 Planning Commission meeting with no changes.
Is there a second?
Second.
From Commissioner B, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay, that motion carries and we are adjourned.
Okay, see you next week or 2 weeks. Not next week, 2 weeks.
Sweet.
Good to see you.
Thank you guys.
Bye. See y'all.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Oh, have a good week. Stay safe.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve.